But how much?
I want to go swimming.
Miriam's sitting home waiting for the dogs.
Is Miriam at your house?
No, but she's at our house waiting for my brothers to come see her. They can't come till I get home.
Well, she got nothing to do tonight.
Turned on.
What is it you said you want?
Yeah.
About the feeling of that park, the state park.
About the state park.
The state park thought they ought to have it.
But you got in there. You didn't take down what I said about Mr. Groove and Mr. Lilly?
No, that was after we turned it off.
Well, I can start back a little bit. Would you like for me to say why Mr. Lilly was interested in collecting Stephen Foster's stuff?
Yeah.
You can do that. Or you might put this back into context, shall we say. You said that this happened at a time after your clubs had done something.
Before.
Well, that's good then. You might just start out.
Yeah, before the Florida Federation of Music Clubs started to have proposed having an amphitheater.
That's good.
The first Florida State Park was established, see?
No, I didn't know that was the first Florida State
Park.
Yeah,
first Florida State
Park. That's new to me. But I knew that it was very important to the people in the state, however, the men who were interested in it.
Now, you see, I'm not so sure about that year, but I think it was 35 because that...
He said that's not important.
That's the year that Way Down on the Swan River was made the state song, you see. Well, before the Florida Federation of Music Clubs, they came interested in establishing a memorial to Stephen Collins Foster on the bank of the Suwannee River. The first Florida State Park was established, which is the Suwannee State Park. At Ellaville. I think it takes in part of Suwannee County and Madison County, but I know it's in Suwannee County. Mr. Josiah K. Lilly, with his father, Mr. Eli Lilly, established Eli Lilly and Company, drug company of Indianapolis, had lived in Mississippi as a child. His father, Mr. Eli Lilly, was a colonel in the Union Army and was stationed in Mississippi during the war between the states. He liked the people of Mississippi and decided to move his wife at the end of the war, decided to move his wife and young son, Josiah, to Mississippi to raise the island cotton. But the family contracted malaria and his wife died. But after his mother died, Josiah, as a little boy, would listen to his aunt and the young people, his aunt who kept house for his father, and young people who would come in sing Stephen Foster songs, which he had always loved. And when he had time and money to establish a hobby, he decided to secure everything authentic he could find and let the world know more about Stephen Foster and his music. During the time he was assembling this collection, he spent his winters in Jacksonville, Florida, and was a close friend of Mr. Frank Groover, who at that time was president of Groover Stewart Drug Company, which was later bought by McKesson Robbins. Through the friendship of Mr. Lilly and Mr. Groover, Mr. Groover decided to get a state park established in Florida in honor of Stephen Foster. He contacted Senator Sid Hindley of Suwannee County, who introduced a bill in the Florida legislature carrying an appropriation of money and the authority to purchase land in Suwannee County and establish the Suwannee River State Park. Mr. Hindley interested members of the Live Oak Women's Club, who also assisted in getting the bill passed in the legislature. Is that what you want?
Well, how did Mr. Lilly feel then about the change over into this section?
Well, there was no change. When the Stephen Foster Music Club of White Springs was collecting, securing donations of land and money for this memorial, Mr. Groover sent word through John Barnett, who is now a state sales manager for the company, that he would like for Ms. Barnett and me to come down and talk to him. So we went down, and he told us about Mr. Lilly and about Mr. Lilly's interest in Stephen Foster and about his interest in getting this First State Park established. And he said that he felt sure Mr. Lilly would want to have a part in this park, or in this memorial of Stephen Foster. And it was in that way that that Mr. Lilly got in touch with the Federation.
Now, about the legislative action regarding the commission.
Oh. The bill which provided for the establishment of the Suwannee River State Park also provided for a commission of three members to be appointed by the governor with authority to accept gifts of land and money to be held in trust for the establishment of a memorial to Stephen Foster.
Name who was on that?
This commission of three members was never appointed until after the Florida Federation of Music Clubs became interested in establishing the memorial to Stephen Foster. Governor Fred P. Cone, who was born on the Suwannee River and who was especially interested in seeing the memorial to Stephen Foster established at White Springs, appointed on this commission of three members Mr. Gore. I don't remember his name. He had the Everglades Club Hotel down there. And Mrs. Ed Ball and Mr. W.A. Saunders of White Springs as members of the first commission. Several meetings were held by this commission, and it was decided to advise the Florida Federation of Music Clubs to donate any land which they had been promised to the state of Florida for a state park, and let the state assist in establishing this memorial to Stephen Foster. And then in 1939, the Stephen Foster Memorial Corporation of the Florida Federation of Music Clubs asked that a bill be introduced in the state legislature accepting this land as a state park, and asking the legislature to make an appropriation to establish the memorial. Now, what else? Where am I off now? This bill, I've already said, was introduced by Senator Adams and Mr. Harrell, provided for a commission of 5 members, or provided that the commission of 3 members be dissolved and a commission of 5 members be appointed with authority to act and to build the memorial. You see, you could get all that information out of that bill, but anyway, that first commission couldn't do anything but accept things, and the second commission was empowered to really build the memorial.
And what were the circumstances of the first commission meeting you said in Tampa? What
the commission of 5 members? The first meeting of the newly, you don't want me to say who was the members of that commission?
Yeah,
I think you should.
The bill authorizing the establishment of a memorial to Stephen Foster was passed by the 1939 state legislature, and it carried an appropriation of $25,000. Governor Cohn appointed, well, it was after July, don't you see, because that didn't go into effect until July the 1st. But anyway, in the summer of 1939, Governor Cohn appointed as members of the 5-member commission Mr. Earl W. Brown of DeLand, Mr. Carl Broreen of Tampa, Mr. J. E. Finn of Miami, Mrs. Alfred I. DuPont of Jacksonville, and Ms. W. A. Saunders of White Springs as members of the commission. This commission held its first meeting in Tampa, and at that, and Mr. Brown, Earl W. Brown, was elected chairman. Mr. Carl Broreen was elected treasurer, and Ms. W. A. Saunders was elected secretary. Mr. Brown proposed that Mr. Foster L. Barnes of DeLand be employed as landscape architect for the project.
Now, very briefly, what happened between that time and the time the war started?
There wasn't very much time. Then.
Well, that was a year, that was the summer of 39, and it was all during 40, don't you see?
In the World's Fair, don't you?
World's Fair.
In the tower.
No, Mr. Mr. Barnes wasn't elected. I wasn't that meeting. I mean, he wasn't employed till 41. Don't you see?
Oh, I see.
Because he came back from the World's Fair. He was at the World's Fair of Mr. Brown.
Yeah. Right? I don't know what we did up to the time we employed Mr. Barnes.
Hmm. Well, he had a caretaker. Maybe he didn't do anything. Just kept it and kept the fence around it.
Well, and you were counting on publicity at the World's Fair, though, as helping toward this one.
Mm-hmm. Yes. But as to what that commission did between 39 and the time Mr. Barnes was employed, I just don't remember anything definite we did.
Well, now, wasn't it during this period, perhaps during the legislative session in 41, that $100,000 was appropriated?
Yeah.
Then you might say that the 1941 legislature appropriated $100,000 and then continue and explain why it was not used.
Because of the war.
Well, now just let me think. Mr. Brown got Mackie White. I mean, he suggested Mackie White as an architect. because Mackey had done the Florida building for the New York World's Fair. But we first contacted the Stewart and Chase down in Miami because they had done the beautiful building for the Chicago World's Fair. But the sketch that they sent out was too modern. And Mr. Stewart came up here and... I don't know. I don't know what we did unless we just... we must have met and discussed... I just don't know.
Well, I think perhaps the most important thing during the time between the formation of this commission and the beginning of World War II was the fact, if I remember you correctly, that the legislature appropriated $100,000, possibly in 1941, the summer of 1941, Mr. Barnes was employed.
Yes,
and
that's
then
right.
In December, you
the
had
war
the war.
Declared.
Mm-hmm. And so at that time, you either you commission members or you, as from the music club, went to Governor Holland.
No, it was the commission members.
Well, commission members went to Governor Holland as to what to do. And he agreed to release $50 a month for a caretaker.
And enough money to...
fancy property.
But you see, we had that $25,000 from the appropriation in 39. We had
when was the
some meeting.
Built?
It was dedicated in 50. October the 4th, 50. That was after the...
That'd be after the war, of course. Because nothing could be different. Everything was tied up during the war.
I was just trying to think if Mackey drew the plans for the tower before he drew the plans for the museum. I don't know whether he did or whether...
They have sort of a model of what he thought the tower was going to be in
Yes,
New York.
That was taken up there.
Well,
it was taken to the legislature in 41.
It would have to be, if it was at the World's Fair, it would have to be before that.
Then we got an appropriation, I think it was in 47, we got an appropriation for $500,000. But that was, all of those first appropriations would be to be paid out when and if the money were available.
Mm-hmm.
When the governor and the budget commission thought that it could be secured. But in, I think it was 47, there was a $500,000 appropriation made, and that was during the time Carwell was governor. And we got our first diorama, the Suwannee River diorama, made, and it was carried up there, and Mr. Gray let us put it in the upstairs in the lobby of the Capitol. And when Fuller was running for governor, he said, now if you can get Governor Carwell to release half of that money, when I go in as governor, I will release the other half. And Governor Carwell did release maybe he released he must have released the money to build the museum, because we didn't have enough money for the tower. But when Fuller got in, he didn't release the rest of the money, but he released $60,000, and we paid for the dioramas and some other furnishings there. Then you see this. The money that you didn't get during the biennium, that bill was written, if you didn't get it, you lost. So then, when Graham Black was senator, the commission requested that $500,000 be put in the general revenue bill for the tower. But the cabinet turned it down. They didn't put it in. So Graham said one day, he says, anything could be done, what could be done about this? And I said, well, if you get that put back in the general revenue bill. Well, I guess he did get it put back in, but when it went to conference committee, the Senate voted for it, and the House didn't vote for $500,000. And when it went to the conference committee, it was cut down to $350,000 with the understanding that the commission would have to raise from private donations for the rest of the $500,000 and have to be done during that biennium. But Graham and Joe got that bill put through. But all of that you could get, Mr. Barnes has got that. So.
Well, then, did you purchase the Caroline later?
Yes. The way we got that, as I said, you had to get the $350,000 within the biennium, and you had to have your $125,000 to go with it before the state would release it, and you had to have your contract let before the biennium was over with. So the commission went to see, Graham helped out with that too. He talked to Mr. Irving, Attorney General, and arranged for us to go up there. So the commission members went up and talked to him. And he said, Irving said, if we would set up a non-profit corporation of businessmen and leased the concession, the gift shop, to this corporation, any money that came in above the expense of running it could go on to the $125,000. Well, when this bill was written in 39, Mr. Howe was very careful to give the commission authority to do almost anything so they could build it. And so the commission had authority to issue revenue certificates to be paid off by the money from these concessions. And so they were issued and sold, and that's the way that was done. But,
you're doing a beautiful job here.
Well, there's a lot more to do. We need we need that amphitheater with a roof on Auditorium 1.
Sure do. Then we can sit back for a while.
Okay. Well, I hope I haven't tired you all out. You should have done more talking yourselves.
Well, I know all that. I haven't kept up with it like you have. All the way
along. It's been wonderful that she has been on the commission.
She saved her lives.
Well, yeah. Mr. Brown was a wonderful member, and it was when he didn't stay on.
Mm-hmm. Well, when did Mrs. Whitehurst get interested again?
She came to the convention here. And the corporation is always meets with the convention and the fall board meeting. And as I said, the nominating committee asked her if she would be president, and she said yes. She said that her mother had been sick, that her mother had been sick, and that it hadn't been convenient for her to go. Of course, I don't know whether she felt that she should have been the first president or not. It was, she made the suggestion. Mm-hmm. But Ms. Smith was put in, you see, as first president, as she went out as the state president.
And she wanted it down the other end of the state. Like it looks, everybody else wants it. Remember the woman in St. Pete that said she couldn't understand why we had such a hullabaloo up here at White Springs over the Suwannee River? Till somebody reminded her of why didn't have it down there. Because there are more people down there, and somebody reminded her the Suwannee River happened to be up here.
Sure, that's a tourist. That really happened.
Yeah, she said, why do you want to put it? thing I'll play. I haven't got any people down there. Why don't you put it down in St. Louis?
Yeah.
I mean, St. Petersburg.
Well, people come into the museum, into the building, and wonder if that's the place where they catch the boat. And not a drop of water inside anyway. No. But that happens every day.
The signs tell you where to go to the boat.
Oh, give me strength.
Then you see, Mr. Lilly came here. Watt and I went up to Flint one in... trying to think if it was 39. Anyway, he wanted to get a car, so he decided he'd just go up there and drive it back instead of paying freight. So we went up there and called Mr. Lilly. I called Mr. Lilly from somewhere. And he said, we had been in correspondence with, and he said to come by and have lunch with him one Sunday. So we did go by, and he said then that he had never ridden on the Swan River, and he wanted to ride on the Swan River.
I remember that trip.
So Watt said, well, if you'll come down, when you come down, he was coming down that spring, if you'll come by White Springs, we'll see if we can't take you on the Swan River. So he came, he and Ms. Lily and Ms. Lily's sister. So our music club and the rest of White Springs gave a luncheon over in the clubhouse, and he made the most beautiful talk you could ever hope to hear, but that was before we had any tape recordings around, tape things to make recording. And he told about his getting, assembling this collection and everything. So the Watt had got a shrimp, I mean a fishing boat, to come up from Cedar Key. Mm-hmm. Up to Fanning Springs. So the next day, we went down to Fanning Springs and got on the boat and took a picnic lunch. I know we had fried chicken and
sure
homemade ice cream and I don't know what else.
I had some marvelous pictures of him.
Margaret and Mr. Mont and Eve Barnett. Mm-hmm. I don't think John could
Your
go
mother
his
was
work.
There, cause I
mother was there and Watt. And mm-hmm. So we got on at Fanning Springs and got down to Cedar Key is about 6 o'clock. And he was very much interested. That must have been in 39, must have been 40. Then the next time he came to Florida, the next winter, we saw him down in St. Petersburg. And he said then that if he were not living when we got ready to build, that his family would give something. And so they did give $25,000. Mr. Gruber, when he asked, sent word for Eve Barnett and me to come down there to see him, he said then that also the corporation wanted a statue of Stephen Foster. And he said that Mr. Lilly had given this statue for Arms Park in Cincinnati. And I don't know how this sculptor got my name, but I got a letter from him, Mr. Ivoney, saying that he felt sure Mr. Lilly would give a replica of that statue for our park down here. So I don't know whether it was the first time Watt went up there for a car or the second time, but he went twice. But one time we went by Cincinnati and saw that statue in Arms Park, but it was so sad looking until I personally just wasn't interested in it. But Mr. Lilly, Mr. Gruber said that he wanted to write Mr. Lilly because he knew Mr. Lilly would give some money. So Mr. Gruber wrote him, and Mr. Lilly sent Mr. Gruber a check for $1,000. Well, Mr. Gruber gave it to Eve Barnett, and it was put in the bank in Jasper with the donations we were getting up here for the memorial. Well, Miss Smith called up one day, And as I understood from what she said, we were trying to put on a drive, that was before she put on the drive, that she was interested in using that money to help put on this drive. Well, she said later that that wasn't what she meant, but I don't know just what she meant. Evidently, she wanted that money turned on over to the corporation. But Mr. Groover had given it to us with the understanding that it was not to be used for anything on earth but building. So we contacted him, and he said, you get that check and give it back to me. He said, I'm going to send it back to Mr. Lilly, which he did. Well, Miss Smith never liked that. She
sure
know,
did.
She thought that we should have, because she said Mr. Lilly wrote her he was sending her sending her the money, but he didn't send it to her. He sent it to Mr. Groove. So that $1,000 went back, and then after he said that whenever we got ready to bill that he'd give, his family would if he were not living, which they did. They gave $25,000.
It's interesting to look back to the very beginning of the movement for the Foster Memorial here on the banks of the Suwannee. As we recall it, it started back in the State Convention of the Florida Federation of Music Clubs that was held in West Palm Beach in 1936. We were having the regular routine meeting that we generally have when Mary Whitehurst from Brooksville rose to her feet and made this very potent suggestion that we do something about the Suwannee River, a memorial to Stephen Foster, because we have the Suwannee River right down here. It seems that her lawyer husband had to make a trip to Tallahassee. She went along with him. It was a business trip. Coming back at Old Town, when they were crossing the Suwannee, he suggested to her that the women of the Florida Federation of Music Clubs, being musically minded, were missing a big opportunity to honor Stephen Foster in some way because of the Suwannee River and the song that he had written. She became interested in it herself, and then she brought that suggestion to us. Well, all of the women were enthusiastic over it, and immediately the state president, Mrs. Ashley Roy Smith, appointed some committees to investigate and to bring some information at the next meetings. She appointed different committees, and one was for the location, which spot to choose, if we could go ahead and put an amphitheater. That was the form of the memorial at the time, that we thought, an amphitheater on the banks of the Suwannee River. And then she appointed several other committees. The one that I happened to be serving on at the time was, there were three of us. One was Mrs. McMasters, who was the district president of the West Florida District at that time, living in Dufuniak Springs, and I don't recall the third person. Were there just two? Well, I thought there were three. Anyway, it got to be almost time for the meeting, and I began to get busy. I couldn't get Mrs. McMasters to drive way down from Dufuniak Springs, so I contacted a man from the forestry department, Mr. Henniger, who was living in Lake City at the time, and he said he would take me around. Yes, he knew some places that would be a good place for an amphitheater. So we went down to Old Town, and while it was it's wide down there and really beautiful, the little place, the land that we were could have, that the government owned, was very small. It wasn't big enough for an amphitheater. It was between the highway, as I remember, and the river. And I think they had had a CCC camp there. And not only that, the banks, the water overflows the banks badly at that spot. Then we came up to the state park, Suwannee River State Park at Ellaville, and looked in there, and the water overflows there at times, we discovered. And then Mr. Henniger took me down some other roads that I didn't know anything about, and when we got to the river, there wasn't a place there that we could use at all, and finally we came over to White Springs. Well, we thought that down there on 41, just south of White Springs, east of White Springs, would be the logical place. And we knew somebody, a Mr. Mikulski, who owned some land there, and he offered it to us free of charge. Then I talked to Ms. Saunders about that, and she said, you don't want it there. The river overflows its banks there. It never would do, and there's not enough land. So the members of the women's club invited me over one afternoon, and we stood on the back porch, I can remember that, and they showed me their backyard and said, you can have this land. Well, that wouldn't do either. I said, I was very polite, and I said, but we want it on the banks of the Suwannee River. So that didn't do, and then pretty soon, I don't know how it began to click, but pretty soon we began to get some property over here. Miss Amy Mathis had a house right on the river, and from then on, we had her land. She donated her land, and other people donated land, and that's the way we got the land to start with. And I went back to the next meeting with that report. Now, Lil, can you take over from there about the convention in Gainesville and what your mother had to say?
Let's name some people in White Springs who were...
That's a good idea.
Who were influential there in the beginning, Miss Saunders.
Of course, the main one was Lillian Saunders herself.
Yes. Oh, can you cut that off till we discuss this a little bit?
Yes.
Well, Margaret, you remember that the state convention of the Florida Federation of Music Clubs was held in Gainesville, Florida, in the spring of 1937.
Mm-hmm.
And at that meeting, you announced to the Federation that you had been able to secure the offer of 5 acres of land for the Stephen Foster Memorial on Columbia County side, on the bank of the Suwannee River, and beyond the east end of the bridge on U.S. Highway 41. That it happened that my mother, Mrs. Effie Shipp, attended that convention. And I went to Gainesville that afternoon, and Mother said, Lillian, what are you and Amy Mathis thinking about to let Margaret Montgomery build a pink marble amphitheater on the Columbia County side of the river? It isn't pretty over there. When the river's high, you know it overflows. She said, with all the beautiful land in White Springs, why don't you get busy and get some of it donated?
That's so, when you organized the society in White Springs?
Well, this was about March or April, mm-hmm. and we organized in May.
Mm-hmm.
So I came home that very afternoon and went to see Miss Amy and told her, ask her if she would care to donate 5 acres of land on the bank of the Suwannee River for a memorial to Stephen Foster, and she said she'd be delighted to. So the next day, Sally Camp and Miss Amy and I went over to see you in Lake City, and Miss Amy told you that she would like for you to come over and look at the land that she owned on the bank of the Suwannee and see if you would be interested in having 5 acres for the amphitheater. I think it was that same afternoon, maybe. Certainly, I think it was that same day that you came over, and you said that you would prefer the 5 acres, which is now used for the folk festival site.
That was the prettiest place, and the banks were high. The river had never overflowed there.
That's right.
Mm-hmm.
There was no danger of this land ever being
inundated
by the high water. So in May, at the last meeting of the White Springs Women's Club, the Stephen Foster Music Club was organized with the purpose of getting the Stephen Foster Memorial located at White Springs and for getting music in the schools. That fall, the state board meeting of the Florida Federation of Music Clubs was to be held in St. Augustine. And you suggested that that would be a good time to get the board to come to White Springs and see this site. So the Stephen Foster Music Club of White Springs, the members, and other people interested in White Springs, served a wonderful
chicken supper, I'll bet, because
picnic supper on the bank of the Suwannee River on the site which you had selected for the memorial. After this meeting, the members went in the clubhouse, and there was quite a bit of discussion about the plans for the raising the money to build this amphitheater.
There were three good reasons why White Springs was ideal for this memorial. I remember that. One was because, finally, when we selected it, one was because you had the music club here and they would always be interested in it and help as much as they could. The second was that if it was over on the banks where we wanted it, it had never overflowed and it had the other places we had looked at. And the third was it was on a well-traveled highway, 41. And at that time, 19, I believe that's the highway that goes down through Old Town, wasn't as popular as it is now. And 41 was. All the traffic came in from the north. So those are three good reasons why White Springs was the ideal spot.
What was the next step then?
Miss Saunders, name some of the people in White Springs and the area who were instrumental in donating land. And when did it get bigger than an amphitheater?
Bigger than 5 acres, yeah. For instance.
Well, we felt that 5 acres wouldn't be enough land to use. So Ms. Mathis agreed to give a strip of land 50 feet wide, extending from U.S. 41 west to this 5 acres which Mrs. Montgomery had requested. And parallel to that 50 feet was a city street which would make an entrance into the memorial of a 100-acre strip.
The mayor helped.
Now, wait a minute. Then the people of White Springs agreed to the city council of White Springs, the mayor, mm-hmm. Mr. Williamson, mm-hmm. and the city council agreed to donate any land which the town owned mm-hmm. near this 5 acres which you selected. Mm-hmm. Well, Suwannee Terrace, which is now included in the Stephen Foster Memorial grounds, had been one of the first subdivisions in Florida. And it had been cut up into lots and sold. And through the efforts of the city council, any of those lots on which the taxes had not been paid, they were able to
give it to the
donate or promise, don't you
mm-hmm.
see?
Mm-hmm.
And a few lots had gone back to the state, and the trustees of the Internal Improvement Fund deeded those over. then a great many people who still owned the lots, who were not living in White Springs, donated them. But I just don't know. Mr. Barnes has got a copy of all those deeds. But Mr. Finn, 60 acres of this Swanee Terrace was owned by a Mr. Williams in Savannah. Or at least I believe he owned the mortgage on the 60 acres. So Mr. Finn and Watt bought the mortgage from Mr. Williams for this 60 acres. And Mr. Harold, who at that time, Mr. Bamberg Harold, who at that time was our county representative, and who is a lawyer, contacted, did the legal work to clear up this mortgage. And that land was donated. So by March 1938, when the Florida Federation of Music Club met in Coral Gables for the state convention, 100 acres had been promised for the memorial in White Springs. So at that time we had a state senator from Hamilton County, Senator R.S. Adams, R. Stanley Adams. Mm-hmm. So he went to Miami to make the offer for the town of White Springs. And at this Miami meeting, the charter for the Stephen Foster Memorial Corporation was signed. This charter gave the corporation authority to accept gifts of land and money and to raise money for the Stephen Foster Memorial. And at the time Senator Adams made the offer for the town of White Springs, he said that if at any time the corporation and the Florida Federation of Music Clubs decided it was too big a project, he would be glad to introduce a bill in the Senate. And he was sure Mr. Harrell, the representative, would introduce a similar bill in the House, which would set up this land as a state park, and they would ask for an appropriation from the state of $100,000 to develop it. Mm-hmm. So the White Springs offer was accepted by the corporation. There was a meeting in Orlando in July of 1938. And at that meeting, Mrs. Whitehurst, when the corporation was formed in Miami, Mrs. Esley Ross Smith, who for 4 years had been state president of the Florida Federation of Music Clubs, retired and was elected as the first chairman or president, which is the call.
President
of the Stephen Foster Memorial Corporation. Mrs. Whitehurst was elected vice president. And Ella Mae Davis was elected, secretary. And Mrs. Bertha Cole was elected treasurer. And Mrs. Smith announced that there would be a meeting in July in Orlando of the corporation members. Well, at this meeting in Orlando, Mrs. Whitehurst proposed that a competition be held to select a design for the amphitheater. And there was quite a bit of publicity in the Florida papers. I don't know where I'm lost again.
Well, that's right.
I can say here that as the Stephen Foster Music Club of White Springs had invited the State Board of the Florida Federation of Music Clubs and the members of the Stephen Foster Memorial Corporation to meet in White Springs in the fall of 1938. The club and the people of White Springs gave another picnic out on the bank of the river at that time.
Picnic after picnic.
And at that time, Mr. Curton, an architect in Jacksonville, who had read the publicity about the proposed
memorial
competition for a design, brought his design that he had made in his rendering of the drawing over to White Springs, and it was on exhibit on the bank of the Suwannee River when during the board meeting. Mm-hmm. At the meeting of the Stephen Foster Memorial Corporation during that time, Mrs. Smith, the president, announced that the Georgia Marble Company of Tate, Georgia, had offered, it didn't seem like they were going to give that thing, but what were they going to do? Anyway, no, they had offered to design the memorial free if the corporation would purchase the marble from them for this amphitheater. Mm-hmm. And there was quite a bit of discussion. And Mr. Greeley of Jacksonville, an architect, was invited to attend the banquet during this meeting, and he, one of the leading architects of Florida, advised against holding a competition unless the corporation was going to be able to pay a fee, because he said he didn't think we would get worthwhile designs. And the majority of the members of the corporation were not in favor of letting the architect from the Georgia Marble Company design make a design. Now that was in the fall of 38.
When did we get the marble?
Well, the
from Jacksonville.
The federal building in Jacksonville was to be after the new federal building was built. Mm-hmm. The old federal building.
That was the old post office.
Old post office was to be demolished, and Mr. Curton advised members of the Stephen Foster Memorial Corporation to secure this marble from the old federal building, which he felt could be used in building the amphitheater. Mm-hmm. It was not pink marble. It was gray marble, mm-hmm. but it was an excellent quality of marble, and he felt that enough pink marble could be purchased to work with this, which would make a very beautiful structure and would save the corporation from having to buy all pay so much money for the bottle. Well, I knew I was getting ahead of myself. It must have been at that fall board meeting and the meeting of the corporation here in 38 that Mrs. Smith got the approval of the corporation and the Florida Federation of Music Club members to put on a drive to raise funds. And the goal was $100,000 to be raised to build this amphitheater. Excellent publicity was secured all over the United States, and excellent material distributed to the individual music clubs, federated music clubs, throughout Florida. But the enough work was not done to raise $100,000. So, as I remember, there was about $7,000 secured mm-hmm. from that drive after the cost for
the campaign. Publicity was taken out.
Well, it was office cost. The, mm-hmm. the man who put on the campaign didn't accept a fee, but he did accept the office cost and the
printing and
printing and postage.
That was down in Miami, wasn't it?
Yeah.
They put on the best part of the campaign. In fact, I think they're the only city who really went to town on that.
Well, we raised $500.
Oh, right here in White Springs? Well, I know they went all out down there.
Well, there weren't many clubs that, I mean, the majority of the clubs over the state didn't mm-hmm. work as we had, Miss Smith had thought they
would. Tell about the buttons, Lil.
Well, this after the campaign to raise funds was not, did not produce the money expected. The fall board meeting of I don't remember where the convention met in 39. It must, whether it was over in the Tona, it seems to me. But anyway, after this campaign for funds wasn't as successful as it had hoped it would be, the corporation voted to deed the land over to the state of Florida and request Senator Adams and Representative Harrell to introduce a bill asking for a state appropriation. And at that time, Governor Fred P. Coon, who had been born near White Springs on the bank of the Suwannee River, was the governor. When Mr. Harrell and Senator Adams discussed the bill with the governor, he was very much in favor of having the land accepted by the state and was willing for an appropriation to be requested from the legislature, but only for the sum of $25,000. The bill was introduced setting up a commission of five members and designating White Springs as the site for the Stephen Foster Memorial. The bill passed, I don't know whether it was unanimously, but I think it was, through the legislature. And at the fall board meeting, that was in 39, the legislature mm-hmm. 1939. At the fall board meeting and the meeting of the Stephen Foster Memorial Corporation in the fall of 1939, the meeting was held in Clearwater. And the corporation voted to buy the marble from the old federal building in Jacksonville, if the Budget Commission would release the money for it. The company which demolished the post office or the federal building was contacted and agreed to deliver the marble to the site of the memorial, for all of the marble from this building, for $8,000 or $8,500, I don't remember which it was, either $8,000 or $8,500. Norman
Ives. Mm, I was wondering about him.
I think he was a legislator at that time, wasn't he?
Yeah, I don't recall that.
Well, Norman Ives of Lake City.
I know he had big trucks.
Agreed to bring the marble over from Jacksonville, and it was delivered on the site.
Mm-hmm.
But because there were no hard roads through the 100 acres,
mm-hmm.
only small dirt roads, it was necessary, because the marble was so heavy, to push it off the truck, and it was scattered all about in this 100 acres.
Mm-hmm.
How much more are you on?